everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Mensebo, and my guest today is the self-titled Happinista, Jenny Garrett. Author of several publications, and her latest book, which we will discuss, is called Rocking Your Role. Hello, Miss Jenny.
Hello, Lily. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so happy because this is so long overdue, and I can't wait to hear all the tips that you're going to share with us. So before we jump straight in, let's hear a little bit about the brand called Jenny Garrett. She's a highly sought-after speaker and executive coach. She spent the fabulously titled Rocking Your Role. She was awarded the 2014 Women's Coach of the Year by the Association of Professional Coaches, Trainers and Consultants. I had to spell it out because people will not know.
No, absolutely.
She's also the founder of Reflection Associates Leadership Consultancy. In 2013, you were one of the top 10 UK LinkedIn people.
Yeah, that's right, LinkedIn top 10 power woman. I like to have power in my title, which is really great.
I love it. And you're also the vice chair of the 2010 Club,
yes,
an award-winning organisation and website committed to connecting, supporting and inspiring Black female entrepreneurs and enterprising women of the future. She's also on the advisory, I've been Googling you all over the place. She's also an advisory board member of Generation Success,
yeah,
a student-led society built on creating shared value between three key stakeholders, students, employers, and charities. And there's more. She's been a guest on BBC Radio 4's Women's Hour, been featured in Magic FM's Book Club. She's a blogger for the Huffington Post and has her own radio show. She's been quoted on the front of the Daily Telegraph in the UK on the rise of stay-at-home fathers being fueled by the growth of female breadwinners. Tea with Lily is a space for informal discussions with a relaxed format where we chat about topical issues over a cup of tea. Guests from all walks of life join me to share their experiences and provide tips and tricks for professionals and entrepreneurs interested in career and personal growth. Welcome, listeners, and thank you for tuning in. Well, Miss Jenny, what an exciting bio you have. You seem to have done a lot. There's certainly the storyboard and dream many of us would want to emulate. Standing as tall as you do often stems from where you began your life's journey and the values ingrained therein. So can you tell us a little bit about your upbringing?
It's always strange to hear someone talking about you and your bio and think, oh, who is that person? And how did all of that happen? And I think the fact that you just said standing tall is quite interesting because I started life on the 22nd floor of a council estate. You know, I was quite high up and looking at the clouds at that point. My mum had me when she was only 17. So, you know, a teen mum. And we had really very humble beginnings. But I think my ambitions or my aspirations kind of really did come from her. She really did ingrain in my brother and I that you can do anything that you want to do.
Absolutely.
And in her 30s, I think it was early 30s, she'd been a secretary most of her life. But she decided to follow her dream, which was to become a teacher. Mm. So she did a foundation course and then a degree and became a teacher, and she still is now. And I think just her getting that degree really did inspire my brother and I, although at the time probably we moaned that she wasn't spending enough time with us and wondered what she was doing. As soon as she did it, I remember my younger brother saying, you know, if you've got your degree, Mum, if Jenny gets a degree and then I get a degree, we'll be the three degrees. and I think that really did encourage us to do that. So my brother has a degree, I have a degree, and and I think she just said, you can do anything. Doesn't matter where you come from,
yeah,
you know, anything you go through, you can achieve what you want. And that's, I think that stayed with me.
That's a really, really great role model to have. Mm. I remember a long time ago, somebody asked me who my role model was. That was when I was living in the States. Mm. And they were actually surprised that I didn't mention Oprah,
yes,
or Maya Angelou. As wonderful, yeah, as they are,
mm,
their journey was, you know, very, yeah, different from mine. Yeah. And I said, you know, my mother.
Oh, yeah.
And so I really understand that.
Mm.
So, Jenny, you certainly enjoy, appear to enjoy, the celebrity status as a successful businesswoman, because, you know, you're everywhere, omnipresent, pretty much. Radio, TV, YouTube, online, all those places, effortless. So did you always want to run your own business?
Definitely not. No, running my business was not on my radar at all.
Really?
Yeah, not at all, not at all. When I left school, I wanted to be a fashion designer. That was where I kind of started.
I can tell.
Can you tell? I don't know. I think I lost that. Really what happened was I couldn't get the course I wanted to get. I couldn't get a grant to be on the course that I wanted to have. And so I went on to do a degree part-time while working full-time. But in terms of just actually running my business, what happened was I had marketing roles, senior marketing roles, and one of the roles I had last, one of my colleagues came into my office and just said to me, "Where next? What are you going to do with yourself?" She said, "You're as far as you can go in this organisation, so you should actually maybe move away, because I was in Hertfordshire, maybe get a job in London, have a bigger team and a bigger budget." My daughter was very young at that time, so I said, "No, that wouldn't suit me." And then she said, "What about training people in marketing on some of our programs?" Because they ran leadership programs, and at the time I wasn't very confident, and I said, "I can't see myself standing up in front of groups of people. I'd be terrified." And so yeah, I know I do it a lot now, and I know you've seen me speak, but I wasn't very confident to do that. And then she said, "What about coaching?" She said, "Faculty come into your office every day. They come away motivated and with action. You know, you are a natural coach." And I thought, "Oh, I can go on a coaching course. That's not too much of a stretch. So how about doing that?" And so I went on the coaching program and just found it really personally and professionally transformational.
Good.
Have you ever attended a coaching program yourself?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Did you find it sort of life-changing?
It makes you think, look, stand back. And for me, what coaching does is actually more looking at the things you're good at, focusing more, or the type of coaching that I'm more interested in, focusing more on the good stuff, and how you can do more of the good stuff, because at the end of the day, the more you focus on the good stuff, the bad stuff, we all have that, become irrelevant, I think. And that's the kind of coaching that I like to involve myself in. Yeah. But carry on.
So I think it did that for me. It made me definitely see what my good points are, but it also unpacked some things as well. It also made me think and challenge what I was doing and why I was doing it, and my motivations and what was important. And so I sort of completed the course and wanted to coach all the time. I thought, marketing doesn't matter anymore. Coaching is what it's all about. And, you know, I was fully employed in an organisation, and they were really generous in that they let me start to coach on some of their programmes.
That's really good.
Yeah, which was lovely. But they said, you know, it's never going to be a full-time job here. And so I got some coaching myself and spoke to my coach and said, you know, this is what I want to do, but this is what I'm doing. How do I make that change? They suggested that I go down to 4 days a week in being unemployed, and on the fifth day, start to see if coaching was something really viable for me for the future. And I set myself a target of how much I could, you know, if I had contracts to a certain value, then I could potentially take that leap. And within a year, I was freelance. That was in 2006. Wow. And I haven't looked back, and it's grown and developed, but it, you know, from one-to-one coaching to much more. But that's how I did it, really. And it was never about being self-employed or running a business. Mm. It was much more about doing the work I love, but making sure I could earn money from doing it.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's inspirational. Oh. 4 days a week, and then, you know, spending one day. So did you gradually do 3 days, 2 days?
No, I went from 4 days to nothing. Okay. Yeah, so I did it. I did that leap. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think they would have let me do that. Just keep slowly breaking it down. Yeah.
Okay. That mean they probably would have wanted somebody else to do a job share with you.
Yeah.
But I suppose you probably had a senior role, and that's often very difficult to find someone to job share with.
Yes.
So what was your route to becoming a qualified coach / leadership consultant.
Yeah, so it was partly, as I said, I did that first. What I did was actually there are free programs. I don't know if you've come across them with the Coaching Academy. They do 2-day free coaching programs. So the first thing I did when I was interested is attend one of their free programs to see, is this something for me? Is this actually interesting? I attended the program. That particular program wasn't perfect for me, but it gave me a really good insight. They have really large numbers, and I'm much more of a small group kind of person. Yeah. So because it was sort of hundreds of people, it wasn't perfect for my learning style, but it gave me an introduction to what coaching was about and made me think, well, that's interesting. Then I went on this postgraduate certificate in coaching, so much more in depth, an 8-month program. I think I was away 3 days at a time, really immersing myself in coaching and also having to coach alongside that, and found that was the program that was really life-changing for me in terms of really understanding what coaching was about and what I wanted to do. And then actually, because I did work for a business school, I did their coaching for organisational consultants program, and that was really excellent in terms of testing my knowledge and providing case studies and really helping me think about coaching in a different way and really challenging me to up my game around coaching. Okay. So those were the sort of three courses that were really the sort of foundation of what I do. But I think in terms of coaching, it's a never-ending journey.
Yes.
Senge, in his book Presence, says the journey is the reward in learning. And I think you never get to the end. Yes. There's always more. And you've just got to kind of embrace that journey of, I'll never know enough. There'll always be more. Mm. Sometimes it's frustrating because you have to unlearn things to learn more.
Yeah.
And that's how I am. So, you know, I'm always learning. I'm always reading books. My husband always says I should have shares in Amazon because there's always more to learn and do. And so I also completed a master's in about 2009.
Okay.
I went on to do a master's in management learning and leadership.
Okay.
To really enhance my knowledge around leadership and think about how I want to engage with teaching people about leadership as well. So that was a fantastic experience. And I did that with Lancaster as well.
I guess, you having the MA and the fact that you were doing leadership coaching as well meant that it gave you more kudos in that you can speak their language, yes. I guess.
Yeah. I think it did. I think I did it for me as opposed to doing it for people to recognise me. I think for me it's about what gives me confidence is understanding what I'm about and understanding where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And so the MA I did was quite an unusual kind of course where a lot of it was very self-directed.
Ah.
So often, you know, we were deciding on our next module, what we would be doing is as a group of just 8 people, it's a very small course, just saying, well, what aspects of leadership do we want to focus on next time?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
How do we want to do it? Do we want to look at papers? Do we want to all come up with some kind of some sessions together? You know, do we want to challenge each other thinking? Do we want to, which guest speakers or which staff from the university do we want to come in to help us with this? So it was very, very self-directed. I'm really excited, really exciting. And we also marked each other's papers alongside the tutors. And that gave me a real insight into marking and giving feedback. Because it's really painful. Feedback can be so painful when you know someone spent hours and days studying and putting something into an assignment and then giving them real feedback about it. You need to be very careful how you give that feedback as well as being constructive.
Yeah.
So the course was quite different and really enlightening and gave me a lot of insights into leadership and learning, both of those aspects.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, Jenny. Your personal brand is perceived as the Happinista, which really is about making things happen. Mm. And I do love that concept. Mm. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that's the Happinista thing is a new thing, actually. I really feel quite honoured to be chosen by Nivea to help them with a campaign they had. They called it the Bring It On study.
Okay.
And they researched 2,700 women, over 18 to 30 year old.
Okay.
And we're looking for trends. So in terms of their attitude to celebrity, their confidence, their education, you know, how they saw themselves in the world. And they asked me to help them analyse that with my experience of working with women.
Mm.
And I sort of coined this term Happinista. women who make things happen in their own unique way. Okay. Because that's what the new generation of women are doing. Yeah. They, you know, education is important to them, but they don't see it as the be-all and end-all. They can make their own path. You know, employment is important, but actually they recognise they can be entrepreneurs.
Yes.
And they're so much more confident than ever before. And
more than we were.
Yes, and that's great, because women need to be confident. And that's one of the biggest things in my coaching, in my work, in my training. It's what it boils down to. Actually, we need to be confident in ourselves and not derail ourselves or self-sabotage ourselves. You know, it's about actually having the fear and doing it anyway, you know, as Sue Jeffers says.
Oh, yes, I've read that book. Yeah. I remember reading some or listening. I listened to a lot of audiobooks and Thrive.
Yeah.
Thrive. There's a bit in there that said there's a... And there's the thing in your mind that stops you from doing the things that you want is the unwanted guest in your house that you have to evict them as often as possible.
Yes.
To say you can only stay for a day, but not all the time.
Yes.
I quite like that. Have you read it?
I don't think I've read that, but it's based you know, based on the work. There's a chap called Tim Galway who has written a book called The Inner Game of Work. I don't know if you've ever come across it.
No, I haven't.
And he says this equation: P equals P minus I.
Okay.
So your performance, the first P, equals your potential, the second P, minus your interference.
Okay.
And it's the interference. We have, you know, the unwanted guest is sometimes what we focus on. We make it bigger and bigger, and then that ruins our performance.
Yeah.
So the idea is to focus on our potential, focus on what's good, what works, our successes.
What's possible.
Yeah. So often at the end of a day, you know, we might come home and analyse our day and think about all the things that we could have done better, or that went wrong, or that little bit of criticism you had. You know, we all are victims of doing that.
Yeah.
And when we do that, our interference gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and that's what we focus on. But instead, you know, if we just focused on three, you know, just said, oh, three things went well today, really searched for those, our potential gets bigger. And when our potential grows, our performance does.
So does the confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. So this is a fun question, Miss Jenny. Imagine you're sitting in front of a careers officer as a 16-year-old and that you want, you, if they asked you what you wanted to do then, what would you have said back in the day?
Well, it was definitely a fashion designer. Yeah, I really, I think at 16 I was wearing berets, and I really had my own fashion style. I remember this scarf, like shawl I used to drape around me, and you know, I really had my own style, and I really loved fashion. And when I went on my work experience, I went to a fashion house.
Oh, okay.
It was amazing for me because I met some young students. I suppose they were interns there, and they'd take me out during my time, and we had lots of fun, and we got discount clothes as well. And that was everything for me, and I used to be always sketching designs. So,
would you ever go back to doing something like that?
I might go back to painting or drawing. Okay. So
art.
In the holidays, my daughter and I will always, especially summer holidays, we'll sit in the garden and just paint and do fun stuff together.
Oh, great.
And I always said when I retire, I'll open a gallery.
Uh-huh.
So maybe other people's art. I do have a real appreciation.
Okay.
And that's a solace for me as well. So if I want to have some time for myself, you know, and away from the family, I might say I'm going to visit an art gallery, you know, for half a day on a Saturday.
Okay.
And just enjoy, and just enjoy the silence and enjoy the beauty.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Now, this one testimonial, I snuck a couple in. One, Octavia Goridama.
Oh, right,
MBE,
yeah.
He said, Jenny has a talent for bringing out the very best in people she connects with. In her role as vice chair at the 2010 Club and as a mentor to many, Jenny is continually opening doors and enabling women in business to seize their potential. She is simply fantastic.
Oh,
wow. That's great. That's great.
If your listeners could see me, a bit of blushing there.
Oh, none of that. Carry, take it because you deserve it. Now, this is Tea with Lily, and I'm here with the fabulous Jenny Garrett, the award-winning coach and entrepreneur with accolades as long as my arm. She's the author of Rocking Your Role and founder of Reflection Associates Leadership Consultancy. Now, let's talk about coaching specifically and Rocking Your Role. As I mentioned earlier, you're the founder of Reflection. How long has that been going, and what do you do there?
Okay, so Reflection Associates is my first business, and it I started it in 2006 when I started coaching. So initially it was just one-to-one coaching with leaders in organisations, and it's grown really to providing leadership programmes and also accredited training programmes, coaching programmes. So organisations want to develop a group of internal coaches, and me and my team help to develop those coaches to really good standard. As well as that, we provide some diversity and inclusion support, and any team building really. Getting people to understand each other, understand themselves, understand each other, work together, and have the best performance possible. So, I want leaders to be authentic,
That's important.
Yeah, and to be happy in their work, but also get the best from their teams in a manipulative way, but in a way that really helps their teams feel happy in their work and that they connect with the meaning in their work too.
Okay, because I'm just trying to remember where I got this from, and it's something to do with you, whether it was your website or something I was listening to, which says if you're a leader, you have to look at yourself. Would you follow you?
Yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I had a video. I've got a video of talking about that.
Okay.
And it is so important, isn't it?
You know? I've never thought about it like that, but you have to look at yourself and say if you were asked to follow you, would you follow you? And that's where you have to, that's a basis from where you start from as a leader.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. Now, tell us about Rocking Your Role. Is that another arm of your business?
Absolutely. So that it was an arm that grew without expecting it. you know, when women talk about careers, well, when men talk about careers, they talk about the career ladder, the straight up ladder. You know, that's it. And they take each rung and they get to the top. I think for women, we're much more like a tree. Mm-hmm. There are branches, we're going up, we might be going up, but then there are branches, which might be motherhood. It might be that we take a sideways move. It might be that we get involved in a not-for-profit or we travel or whatever we do. It's not that straightforward route that men often take because there are so many things pulling us in different directions.
Yes.
Well, I'd say that, definitely Rocking Your Role is a branch that took me in another direction on my tree that's continuing to go up. I wrote my book. What happened was I read an article by an Australian lady called Rebecca Messenbeck about female breadwinners.
Okay.
And I just thought, that's really interesting. I'm a female breadwinner. I had never really thought about it before. And I thought, is it just me and this woman in Australia, or are there maybe more of us? And, it's a bit like when you get a new car, you suddenly see that car everywhere. Suddenly I started seeing female breadwinners everywhere. Yeah. And I decided to do a bit of research about it, thinking I'd write a blog because I like to blog. And one message I sent out just on Facebook saying, are you the main earner? How do you feel about it? A woman from America came back and she said, I was the main earner for 3 years and those were dark days in my life.
And
I just thought, no one should feel like that, and I just decided then to bring things together, bring people's case studies, my experience and my coaching knowledge to have something that was a resource for women. Yeah. And that ended up being my book, Rocking Your Role. And as soon as I wrote it, it just seemed the floodgates opened, really. Yeah. There's so much interest in it. The week after, I was on Women's Hour. I was asked to speak a lot. And then when I spoke, people said, what next?
Yes.
So I developed a one-day program, and then I developed coaching around it, really. Okay. And that's what happened. It just became a whole business on its own.
Mm.
Yeah, which is wonderful that, my mission was to reach everyone who's a main earner who needs support.
Yes.
I definitely haven't reached everyone yet, but definitely through, word of mouth and the message is spreading out. And just a little story. I received a message on Facebook recently from someone I used to work with. Mm-hmm. A boss she had, who now lives in Australia, had said to her, had started talking to her about female breadwinners and said, I've read this book by this woman, Jenny Garrett, and I'm going to develop something for female breadwinners in Australia. And I just thought, wow, that's so exciting that, it's touching lots of women all over the place. So it's lovely.
The book itself is, conversational, it's not, you have to do this, but it's like, have you thought about this?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the book now. And well, I suppose sometimes I can see myself as a main earner. And having read the book, a couple of things jumped at me. So, for instance, Choices, which is listeners, is on page 57 when you get the book. It says, restoring your sense of control when being an MA was not part of one. Personally, for me, wasn't part of my life plan, and it was crippling. Where did that come out? Where he says, a little, you know, let your light shine. Yes. How did that come about?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I just think that, sometimes people talk about beauty and they talk about, people's beauty. And I always see the most beautiful people are the kindest people, the loveliest people, the people who do good things. And I think sometimes we just, as women, don't see our light, our beauty. And there's so much in us. So I can see beauty that sometimes people don't. I see it in everyone and they don't see it in themselves. And I just want us as women to let it out, not to hide ourselves away, not to feel shame or not to feel not proud of ourselves or not confident, because there's so much to us.
Yeah.
You know, whenever you sit and talk to someone, you know, you're doing your radio show, I bet you find out so much. There's so many layers, there's so much gorgeousness in people. And sometimes they're just hiding it away, and I just think, yeah, let it out. Let people see it. It helps everyone.
I'm not going to break into song, but I remember this song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine.
Come on, let's sing. I'm going to let it shine.
Let it shine.
Let it shine. Let it shine. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Fantastic.
And I say that to my daughter often in the morning. Just let yourself shine at school. Just let it out. Let them see your beauty. Let them see how wonderful you are. She's probably sick of me saying it. Probably doesn't go straight over her head,
but they need to hear it, because I mean, these days it's just so difficult being I don't know what my days as a teenager was like, but I can't imagine if we had all these distractions what my life would have been like. They have far too many distractions, and the ability to focus is getting harder and harder for them. That's that's my view.
Absolutely. But the message is just as important for young children as it is for us as mature women. You know, sometimes we're just hiding our light under a bushel, and you know,
we're waiting for permission.
Yes. Yeah. And it's the only person it comes from is ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so, and this is also something that I'm very, I'm guilty of, the superwoman syndrome.
Yeah,
that's page number 102 to 103. You know, which says, I might as well do it myself, as no one else can do it as well as me. You know, cleaning the bathroom. You know, it has to be done to a certain, it has to be done so well, you know, but what if it's done, but maybe the tap is not shiny?
Yes.
Will somebody die?
Yeah.
No, but that's me. So you said in your book, Jenny, and I promise you at some point, you said, say it loud. I did say it loud, but I did mouth it on the train.
Oh, it's not good enough.
I did mouth it because I was reading the book on the train. I did mouth it on it, I promise you. And it says, listen and listen carefully. It's okay not to be able to do it all. And it says, repeat after me, it's okay not to be able to do it all.
Yeah.
Now say it loud, and this is where I mouthed it. It's okay not to be able to do it all.
Yeah. You have to believe it. You have to say it out loud to believe it. Yeah.
It's okay not to be able to do it. I'm having my own coaching session here.
Yeah.
My own coaching session. So, Jenny, why do so many of us do this, and expect different results?
Yeah.
You know, we're so tired, but we still continue to look for this perfection.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
And nobody can be superwoman all the time.
Well, you just mentioned the media and the influences on young people. We're so influenced all the time, whether it's the other mums in the school playground, the perfect families we see on TV. There is an unrealistic picture of what it is to be a woman. I think it's very, very outdated.
Yeah.
You know, if you were to be, it's great if you want to be a homemaker, and if that's your position, fabulous. But you know, then your job is to do that. But if your job is full-time work outside, and then to do the home, and then to be a parent, and maybe a carer to elderly relatives, you have to set realistic expectations of yourself.
Yeah.
And I think you have to trust other people to take responsibility. Now, they might not do it as well as you, you know, if you do have a partner, they might, you know, they might not make the most healthy, nutritious food, but if it doesn't kill anyone, it's okay, you know. They might not do the cleaning to your high standards, but again, if you're not, you know, if it's not really lots of germs and, you know, then again, it's okay. And I think actually, sometimes men will do an even better job. One of my clients who, her husband is a stay-at-home dad, and she said when she decided to, you know, work full-time and him become a stay-at-home dad, she kept on ringing him and saying, you know, have you changed the nappy? You know, have you done this? Have you done this in this way? And he said to her, this is my job now. You know, just let me do my job. I don't ring you and ask if you're doing your accounting well. You know, I let you do it. And sometimes we have to let people do it and trust that they'll do it well. Mm. Sometimes they'll do it even better than us, and we'll have to say, oops.
or even hire someone to come and do the cleaning.
If you can hire someone, if you're in that financial position, get someone in to do it, and don't do the cleaning before they come. Don't clean before the cleaner comes. Let them do it. Exactly. Yeah, I see your face. This is, women are terrible. But, you know, even the cleaner's going to judge me. You know, don't worry about that sort of thing. Okay. Let them do it.
Okay. I will let go.
Yeah, but if you're in a financial position where you can't get a cleaner, not everyone can. That's a lucky position to be in. Perhaps there's swaps you can do with another woman. You know, things like a school run, for example. Why is it, you know, all of these cars with one child in them, why can't we share it? Why can't someone else do the school run one day, you do it another day? Maybe you'll only have to do it once a week. Or maybe there's someone who does fantastic casseroles across the way from you. You know, maybe let them do the casserole and you do something else for them. You know, we can do more together. And I spoke at a women's group recently, and it was all young women. Most of them didn't have children yet. Mm. And I remember saying something like that. And she said, but I think people might judge me for not being able to cope. Oh. No, this is our problem. We worry what other people will think, so we don't support each other.
Yeah.
What if we were a little bit vulnerable and just helped each other?
And asked for the help.
Yes. You know, people won't say no. It gives other people permission, as you said earlier, to do the same with you, to ask as well.
Great. Okay, the third thing, thanks Jenny. The third thing is about the system, the health, how to get yourself healthy. And that's on page 132, where it says, the constant awareness and flexibility will keep your system healthy. And you say, and I quote, rather than being like a dry twig, which that snaps easily, you need to be like the little green shoots that can bend and sway and be weaved into something else if necessary, malleable, fresh and alive, unquote. It's a lovely thing, because when you think, sometimes because we start by saying we're going to do this, if we deviate from what we're going to do, we feel we've failed. So that's the, you know, hard twig. But perhaps, you know, the flexibility of knowing that you've got plan B or plan C there will allow you to do even plan A better. It then goes on to say, balance within your system is the constant recalibrating of priorities and interdependencies. Ooh, clever stuff. It makes me look clever. Anyway, so why don't we do it all? Why can't we be flexible?
Yeah, I think it's about giving. I think part of this is about giving and guilt. Okay. So what happens is that often, as a woman, we believe we should be giving. You know, we should be giving everything to work, giving everything to everyone who needs us, and then not leaving anything for ourselves. And to do so, to actually look after ourselves, would be selfish. So I the most important thing is, not looking after yourself is the most selfish act. Yeah.
Yes.
Because if you're not taking care of you, if you're not constantly thinking, am I giving too much here? Am I giving enough to me? Then actually you're going to end up derailing or becoming ill. And if you do that, if you lose your job or you lose your health, you can't be there for anyone.
Yeah.
So I really would love you and your listeners to think about selfishness as a really positive thing.
Okay.
You know? Being selfish is the most important thing you can do, because if you look after self, if you look after you, you can do everything for everyone else. You can be there for them for a much longer period of time than you would be if you just choose to not be selfish, as you might call it, and be there for all of them. So you have to constantly be thinking, where am I at in my energy levels? You know, do I need to take some time out? Do I need a girly afternoon tea? Do you know, do I need some time at the spa? Do I just need a lovely bubble bath or a good walk? What is it that creates balance for me? When I was speaking, to someone yesterday who I informally mentor, and I told her that I'm finishing next Friday. She said, you're really good at taking time out just to not work. And I said, I'd be a monster otherwise. And she was like, no, you would never be a monster. I know that I know what's right. I know I monitor those levels. I hear it in myself when it's just actually, you know what, you need to take some time out or you won't be good for anyone. And I think sometimes we wait for it to boil over. We wait till it gets a point where you do become a monster or you do become so stressed or you do become ill. It's too late at that point. Don't, you know, your health is so important. Your physical, mental, you know, psychological, spiritual. All of those aspects of your health, look after them, note them, see where they're at, and rebalance them.
You mentioned something earlier about elderly relatives. Say you know, your mum, and you know, you have your children, you have your issues, and I think that's the sandwich generation.
Absolutely.
And that's even harder. So it's not just being a working mum, but being a working or an ME or a main earner, and then you have to support an elderly relative, whether it's, you know, mother, father, auntie, that needs help. And I think there's a generation that's suffering there. Maybe there's a book in there for you, Jenny.
Well, there is, and it, maybe. But yeah, there's definitely something about being really squeezed and also associating that selflessness with love. So, you know, if I, to love someone, you know, my parents or my children or whoever, that means I give everything of myself and leave nothing for me. You know, it's not, that's not the case.
You're no good to anyone, like you said.
Love you as well as loving others. You know, that same thing I'm sure you've heard many times. When you're on a plane, put your mask on. You know, if there's an accident, if there's something, if your plane's going down, put your gas mask on first and then put everyone else's. You know, don't leave yourself till last. It's too late then and you can't help anyone.
Okay, so help yourself first.
Wise
words. So, Jenny Garrett, this year you mentioned earlier that you helped Nivea with the Bring On campaign. How did that? How did they contact you? How
they
did
just
that
rang me quite randomly.
You do have those random phone calls, don't you?
I think I'm. You know, one of the big things that's been very successful for me has been social media. People really, you know, social media is amazing. People who haven't embraced it, if you are in business or you do want to get yourself out into the world, use social media. It's really been a place for people to find me. And so I'm not sure if they found me off social media or Google or what they, or I was a recommendation. I'm actually not completely sure, but they, they just found me and rang me and said, you know, we'd love for you to get involved in this project. And that was, you know, really fabulous for me to be involved in such a huge brand. And it was also, they ran a competition with the Stylist magazine, so also being involved with them as well. Now that was, I don't know about you, but there might be some things that you want to tick off, you know. Some, and one of the things, I, when I wrote my book, I was saying I'd love it to be in the Stylist. It hasn't featured as a whole in the Stylist, but I did have my name as a judge in this competition in the Stylist. So that was like, oh, tick, yes.
Well done. Okay, which issue was that?
Oh, it was...
did you get lots of copies? Go to the tube station and get lots of copies?
I didn't, actually. I didn't.
So this is the second testimonial. This was from Charlie Duff from Ernst & Young. This was a great session and a good day just to stop, take stock, reward yourself for successes and build action plans for areas of your life that require improvement. This is a day which everybody should take every 6 months to keep feeling positive and moving forward. Was this one of the seminars that you run?
Yes, the my Female Breadwinners Leadership Success Program she attended. It's a bit of a long name, that program, isn't it? Female Breadwinners Leadership Success Program. That's what it's called.
It says exactly what, it's, what it does.
Yes, says it on the tin. So, yeah, it's a full day for... It's supposed to be for women who are the main earner in their home. It's not always, actually. Some other women attend sometimes. But it's really a day to think about, where you're going, what you're about, and really sort of set your route and ditch some of the things we're talking about. Ditch that superwoman cape. ditch the guilt, make really positive choices in your life, and really start to craft the life that you really want. That's what the day is about. And it's a, what's nice, because I told you I like small groups, so it's normally 8 to 12 women, and they really do bond and stay in touch with each other and support each other into the future. So I love that day. It's my,
Is it every 6 months you do it with them?
Actually people can come as often as they want, but I run the program 3 times a year.
Okay.
Just 1 day, 3 times a year.
Okay, I'll look out for that. So this is Tea with Lily, and I'm here with the fabulous Jenny Garrett, the award-winning coach and entrepreneur with accolades as long as my arm. She's the author of Rocking Your Role and founder of Reflection Associates Leadership Consultancy. We're nearly there. So you're an executive coach, an entrepreneur, a mentor, a happinista, main earner and author. I mean, these are all roles that you play on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Which of these would you say is by far your favourite career pastime?
I love that question, because, and I really love, I appreciate the fact that you've asked that question, actually, because coaching is what I love to do.
Okay.
Yeah, at the heart of everything I do, it's all about coaching. And my speaking enables me to coach more. My book enables me to reach a wider audience of people that I wouldn't have been able to reach because I can't coach everyone.
Yeah.
But at the heart of it, those powerful coaching conversations where you see someone's sort of a light bulb pop, you know, above someone's head, and they suddenly realise something. Or you walk alongside someone on their journey for 6 months and they've transformed and changed and done more than they ever thought possible. That's for me what it's all about, and that's really what I love to do. Yeah. So,
and then for you, listeners, there are a few other recommendations on the website rockingyourrole.com, and they are fabulous. I couldn't put them all in here to share with you, but you must go and see the stuff that people are saying about Jenny, and that's rockingyourrole.com. So you recently founded not-for-profit company or organization, CIC?
Yeah, a community interest company. Yes.
Called Rocking Your Teams.
Yeah.
Why? That's fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, actually, it was personal. And I suppose everything I do is a bit personal. So being the main earner, I wrote a book called Rocking Your Role. Having a teen daughter, I've created a company called Rocking Your Teens.
Yeah.
So what I noticed was, my daughter going into secondary school, just a lot of challenges, you know, in terms of friendships, self-esteem, you know, being proud of, you know, how bright you are, or, you know, that sort of thing. And I started looking, researching, and I saw some really damning statistics for teen girls. You know, the social media now is making them less confident in their body than they ever were before. Often when teen girls go to secondary school, they start dumbing themselves down to fit in, you know, and just, there was just so much in terms of statistics that I thought, oh my gosh, who's doing something about this? Who's really empowering them? There's so much in schools about education, academic achievement, but there's underneath that, just like what I do with coaching, there's so much about your mindset.
Yes.
You know, that's really important. There's so much about being proud of yourself, so much about confidence, that's really critical. And I thought, who's doing that for teens? And I just put the idea out there, and you know, I'm always all about just putting ideas out there and seeing what happens, seeing if the universe conspires to make it happen. And I went to a meeting with a guy actually, and told him I was thinking of doing this, and he said, I'm in. And then I spoke to someone else, and she said, I'm in. And so it's not just my company, we've co-founded it. There's three of us.
Okay.
And we have our first teen conference happening on the 12th of March next year.
I'm in.
Great. Thomson Reuters are hosting it.
Okay.
I opened booking on a Monday, and it was full by the Thursday. So I have 180 students already booked, and their teachers. So we've completely already sold out. We've got really good guest speakers. We've got Emma Barnett from The Telegraph. We've got a woman called Yasmin Ali, who is an engineer. And we've got a fabulous day planned for these teens from 10 till about 3 in the afternoon.
Okay.
And it's going to be really, you know, empowering by hearing other stories, but also, you know, real interactive workshops for them to work on thinking about being great choices, thinking about themselves as how could they lead themselves to success, as well as options like understanding that actually maths and science and things like that are not just for boys.
Is it just for girls?
Yeah, this first conference is just for girls, but future conferences will be boys and girls.
Okay, because I'm interested in finding out how to the boys also. I thought the dumbing down was actually just boys.
No, it's girls.
I didn't realise that. Girls, because I thought girls were more driven and they're driven to do quite well. No. Boys I know, but I suppose I'm going with my children's experience. I've got two boys and a girl, you know, driven. Even though boys are bright, they don't want to show too much of it. It's like,
So, girls do it too.
That's interesting to know.
Although typically they do say girls do better, don't they, academically in school. But so the first conference is all girls, but the 2016 will be boys and girls.
Okay.
And we're looking to grow and develop.
Great.
It. So it's really exciting. So excited about the people, you know, schools and individuals, everyone's excited about it, and that's brilliant.
I think schools, well, of course, they focus on academia, but then there's the social side also that's quite important.
Yes.
So that's good. I'll look out for that. So you're a huge fan of mentoring. Who are your mentees currently?
Yeah, so I mentor for the Cherie Blair Foundation, and so I have a mentee in Botswana. Auntie, her name is, and she's amazing. She just does so much, and she runs actually a women's network in Botswana. That's my, but I also have some mentees in the UK. So how I differentiate is I offer five pro bono mentee slots a year. So and those currently are really exciting women. One is runs a magazine. She runs her own magazine called Amour. She calls herself a life architect, and she provides classes, but also strategic development for businesses about people. Really, how do you make your staff happy? That's just a couple of my mentees.
Okay.
They're all fabulous.
Well, of course, you know, even if they weren't fabulous, having worked with you, they will be fabulous.
They're just fabulous anyway.
That's great. So it can't be all work, surely.
No.
So what do you do for fun? Or shall I say, what's your guilty pleasure?
My guilty pleasure? Do you know, it's watching rubbish TV, probably. I love Dinner Date. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I know somebody who's been on it.
Oh, really? Not you?
No.
Fabulous. Yeah, I love watching Dinner Date. I don't know why, but I love these dates and eating and who they choose and all of that sort of thing. So I like watching TV shows like that. I love eating eating great food, and I love different restaurants. I love live music. Do, you know.
There's nothing like it.
No, it's just, touches your soul. So I love live music, and if you can combine eating and live music, then you've got me.
Okay. Yeah. All right. If anything like that comes up, I'll be calling you and letting you know.
Yeah.
So we also support charities I tend to support charities for personal reasons. Which charities do you support and why?
Right, well, I suppose, you know, some of the companies that I'm involved in, like 2010 Club and Generation Success, are charitable organisations that I support as an advisory board member. And they're usually about, you know, 2010 Club about supporting black women, Generation Success is really about creating networks for people who perhaps have the education but then don't have the contacts. So things that perhaps I've gone through in my life. But also the other charity I really support and advocate is the Sickle Cell Society.
Okay.
Excuse me. And I have sickle cell trait.
Okay.
My husband has something called beta thalassemia trait. And any child we have means they have a 1 in 4 chance of having sickle cell disease.
It's quite high.
Yeah. And when my daughter was born, we didn't know for the first year whether or not she had sickle cell disease. They couldn't tell. And it was really quite scary, not knowing. We knew that this was going to be the case when I was pregnant with her. They sort of told us, you know, while I was pregnant, just that there was a 1 in 4 chance. Also, I have some friends and clients who have had who have and are living with sickle cell disease. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it's a scary illness that there's a, you know, a lot more research needs to be done. Mm. And just the fact that it's very close to home for me.
Yeah.
So that's the one big charity that I really support.
Okay, well, I guess I can take the link from you later and then put it on the website.
Yes.
If people want to go and donate, they can.
Mm.
Now, how can, thank you for that, how can our listeners connect with you if they want to learn more about leadership, learn more about how to be a powerful main earner, right, and so on and so forth? So
yeah,
what's the best email address for you?
The best email is info@rockingyourrole.com, and the role is R-O-L-E. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so info@rockingyourrole.com, and probably the best website is rockingyourrole.com as well.
Okay. Phone number?
They can get me on the phone. It's 0844 776 4744.
Can you repeat?
Yeah, 0844 776 4744. But probably better to email me and then arrange a call.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thanks for that, Jenny. So finally, what are your three top tips for perhaps the fledgling female entrepreneur who's just starting out and doesn't quite know what to do?
Yes, I think surround yourself with like-minded people. Mm-hmm. Running your own business is a constant roller coaster ride. And it's on a daily basis. So, you know, even though I've been running my business since 2006, you know, this might be the highlight of my day. I might go now and there might be something that makes me feel a little bit down, and then I might go up again. And it's constantly like that. And you really need to surround yourself with people who are on that similar journey.
Yeah.
People who really understand what it is to run a business. People who understand that it's up and down. People who are focused and want to achieve. Because there'll be so many people who don't get it, who just say, go and get a job, or why are you doing this? This is too much hard work. Or why are you working such long hours? Or whatever they say to you. And you don't really want those people to be taking your energy. And they won't be doing it because they want to hurt you. They'll be doing it really because they want to protect you, or they don't understand. So you know, they're not horrible people, they just don't get it.
Yeah.
So surround yourself with people who get it. The other thing is perseverance. I think a lot of entrepreneurs have lots of ideas, and you can flip from one thing to another. You know, persevering and focusing and being consistent is really important. Waking up each day and doing something that's going to take you towards your goal. Mm-hmm. Even if it didn't take you there yesterday, doesn't mean it won't take you there today. They say in terms of marketing, people have to have 12 touch points before they buy from you.
Yeah.
So you need to be sending out in some way 12 bits of communication to them, not stopping after the first and thinking that didn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
So perseverance and consistency are really critical in being an entrepreneur. And the third is do things that will make money. It's great to be passionate. And, you know, I've said many times, I coach even if I didn't earn money from it. But I'd need to be doing something else to make the money if that was the case. Mm. If you're doing something that, as a business, it needs to be viable financially.
Yeah.
It needs to make you money. And money's not a dirty word. You know, if you earn money, you can do much more, I'm not going to be able to say it now, philanthropic deeds.
Okay.
You'll be able to give more because you're earning enough money to cover your bills and cover your life. So money is not a dirty thing. It's not a horrible thing. It's not. You need to earn money and think like a business so you can reinvest in your business or do good deeds for other people. If your business is not going to earn you money, it's not a business.
Yeah.
And I probably shouldn't.
Hobby.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't be doing it as a business.
Okay, yeah. So it's surround yourself with like-minded people, perseverance,
and focus.
And the third is the business has to make you money.
Yes.
Because money is not a dirty word.
Yes, absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Jenny, whatever is next for you, which will no doubt see you rocking your role, I wish you lots and lots of success and, of course, some adventure, because otherwise it'll be really, really boring. Will you come back and join me on the sofa again and give me an update?
Absolutely.
On the amazing things that you're doing. And listeners, if you have any questions for Jenny, please email her at info@rockingyourrole.com, or you can just email me at lilyyebar@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to pass the message on. Please tune in again for the next episode of Tea with Lily. I'm your host, Lily Mensah-Yeboah, and until next time, keep smiling and always, always walk good. Jenny Garrett, thank you.
Thank you.